Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
So just heads up, my voice is fighting me a little bit. About an hour ago, I thought y'all were going to get preached to by Darth Vader himself. It was Luke. And anyway, so I'm doing a little better than that. If my voice just totally conks out, I'll tag Ron in and we'll see what happens from there. So we are in the third week of a series called Rhythms of Renewal, where we're looking at things that happen in our lives that we can do in our lives to experience the grace of God in some new ways, particularly around the issue of wrestling with anxiety that we either hold often as like a low-grade issue in our bodies, or sometimes it peaks up above the surface and it becomes a major thing. And when I was on the phone with Ron, and he said, hey, we're using this book by Rebecca Lyons as kind of the grid for the series, why don't you take this rhythm, Restore? And I said, yeah, that sounds great. And I hadn't read the book yet, which would have been smart if I had done that first. Because when I got home and looked at it, I had this moment of abject horror and realized that this rhythm is about how to take care of your body through exercise and eating right. So what you're about to witness is 30 minutes of straight hypocrisy. And I apologize. So I am preaching to myself first, and maybe you can come along for the ride. And here we are in church talking about our body. Now, I imagine for most of us, talking about the body instantly brings up a little bit of discomfort. What are we doing talking about that in church? First of all, to talk about our bodies feels a little uncomfortable because most of us aren't super happy with our body. Am I right? How many of us wake up, look in the morning, and we're like, oh yeah, this is a, man, just everyone's gonna love this. And that's just not how we experience ourselves most of the time. So we're already a little uncomfortable, and we've been picking up symbols and signals from all over culture, magazine covers, TV, social media, whatever, that give you a very strong sense of this is what a person who's worth something looks like, and the rest of us, are just kind of inching along. And but also, the challenge with talking about the body in church is it feels very unspiritual. It feels very unspiritual. We in the Western world have picked up some of Greek philosophy's thought, going back to Plato, the philosopher particularly, who named that things that you could not see, ideas, spiritual things, that those are the important and good things in the world. And the things that you can see and touch, particularly our bodies, are not nearly as important, maybe even intrinsically bad. And we've kind of adopted that a little bit, and there's a sense of that the good things are out there, and they're invisible, and we can't touch them, and they're very spiritual. And the things that we can see and touch are kind of, we don't really know what to do with those. We don't really want to spend a lot of time talking about them. But as Christians, our religion is rooted in Judaism. And the Jewish religion has always placed an extremely high respect on the physical world, and particularly on the human body, that this is a place to encounter the glory of God because it is from God and it is highly valued by Him, and so it should be highly valued by us. And as Christians, we could start at a lot of places looking at Scripture, but the spot that I just wanted to start from is in 1 John. And John is writing into one of the first Christian communities that are struggling with some false teachers. And he says this, "Dear friends, do not believe every evil spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets," these are these teachers he's worried about, "have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." In verse 9, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love.
not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son is an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In churchy world, the fancy word for God taking on flesh and coming to us in a body is the incarnation. And it is one of the two great pillars that hold up the Christian faith. The incarnation and the Trinity being probably the two great mysteries of the Christian faith. And the incarnation, that God took on human flesh, took on a body, that God wanted to come close enough to hug people, to whisper in their ear, to annoy his disciples by snoring at night when they were on a long trip, whatever it was. He wanted to get close enough to take on a body. And one of the earliest heresies of the church is to say that God's too good for that. God's too good for that. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have come and taken on a body and been with us in all of our mess and all of our smelliness and needing to shave and all of the things that can go wrong with the human body. God's too good to die. He's too good to die, isn't he? He's God. And John steps into that and he says, remember that God says that the body is good by taking one on and by offering it as a sacrifice for the world. And so we start as Christians by looking at the human body and saying, this is where God has revealed his glory. First of all, in Jesus. But it's not just that. It continues to us. Because when he says, this is what love is shown through an embodied experience. Love is shown through whatever it is we do with our body. That is how we know what love is. If we could talk about your bodies for a little bit in a few different categories. First, I'd like to talk about your body as a gift. Your body is a gift from God to you. Now, it may not feel like it. It may not look like it. You may be upset about the acne or the fact that your eyes don't work quite right or your ears don't work quite right or your legs don't move like they used to. Maybe you're mad about how your nose looks or if you're calves are too thick at the bottom or whatever. You may be dealing with cancer or your body is rebelling against you. But your body, we believe, is a gift from God to you. Scripture talks about in the first chapters of our Bible, these poems and songs about creation, God gets down in the dirt and puts together the human body with his hands. Or in the Psalms, again, poems and songs, prayers, there's this notion of God knitting together people in the mother's womb, that your body is a gift to you from God. And this may be a little obvious to point out, but your body is where you do life. You don't do things outside of your body. That's where everything happens. It's your home base. If you bless someone or tear someone down, you did it with your mouth. If you hug somebody, you did it with your arms. If you have bitterness and hatred going on inside of you, that is stored in your brain. Your body is where you are. You are not somewhere else. And so it is God's gift to you because it is where you live your life. And it's not just that he wants to give you that gift. He wants to give the world a gift through you, which means through your physical body, that like squishy thing that happens. This is supposed to be a gift to the world because you are a gift to the world. It's more than that. We can also talk about your body as a temple. A temple is a place where the presence of God lives among his people in a world that is separated from God. When Paul is writing into a church that is struggling with a lot of things, like a lot of things. One of their issues is that they are highly sensual. Everything that relates to the senses, they are just putting way too much emphasis on, whether that's sex or food or laziness or drunkenness. They're amping up all of that. And Paul is writing into that context in 1 Corinthians, and he has a little bit to say about the body. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. So as followers of Jesus, in the new family of Jesus, we do not start conversations with our rights. I have the right. In the family of Jesus, that is not where we start. That is not what we're concerned with. What we're concerned with is what is good? What is good? I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Paul says, just because you have a desire that creeps up inside of you, that doesn't mean that should tell you what to do. You may have the right to do it, but that doesn't mean we should. I don't want any desire that creeps up inside of me to get to tell me what to do. I get to tell it where it needs to sit on the bus. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but the body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. So God is so into the body that you will get a new and glorified one when he raises us from the dead at the end. So in the meantime, let's take care of it. It's not just to do with what we want. And apparently these 1 Corinthians, these folks in Corinth, they have a saying that goes something like, hey, there's food out there. God made that. God made my stomach. The two should meet, right? And he's like, yeah, just because there's something out there that can make you feel good doesn't mean we should indulge it, because your body is for God. It is for him. It is from him. It is for him. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. The point of Christianity is not to have my rights or do what I want or to be my own self or whatever. It's to honor God with my whole life, and part of that is my body, because the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you so that you can be a place in the world where the world can experience the power and presence of God. And so we honor our bodies not just because it's a gift, but because it's a place where God lives, and it keeps going on from there. Our bodies, your bodies, are on mission. Paul, again, is talking to the same congregation. This is another letter to them. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Anybody else connecting with that verse a little too much these days? I went to the dermatologist last week, and they told me I have some stuff on my face that needs to get frozen off with liquid nitrogen. I'm not even 40. outwardly, we are wasting away. Yeah, picked up on that. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, it would be easy, and I've heard it done, to use that particular verse to say, see, the body doesn't matter. It's wasting away. It's temporary. It doesn't matter. Interesting. Because I think that is exactly the opposite point that Paul is making there. Since my body is temporary, and since it is wasting away, I need to invest it in things that are eternal and lasting. I know my body is temporary. God will give me a new one in the resurrection. I know my body is wasting away. That's becoming more and more clear. So we need to invest it in things that matter and things that will go on for forever. And by the way, the things that will go on for forever are the glory and presence of God and the people that he loves. And so we are to be on mission to invest our bodies, what we do with them, into the things that God cares about. When we worship him, we do that with our body. When we serve our neighbor, we do it with our body. Our bodies are not for ourselves. They are to be invested in eternal and lasting things that go on forever. And so if our body is a gift, if your body is a temple, and if our bodies are on mission from God, why do they not feel better? Like, why do we struggle with them sometimes? And I don't just mean the outside stuff. I mean the stuff we carry on the inside of our body. Namely, I want to talk about anxiety. whether we know it or not. It's this thing that we, what even is it, and why do we have it if our bodies are good? Most good things in the world, or most bad things in the world, were originally good things that have been misplaced or disordered. And our fear response is a gift from God. Our fear response has an intended purpose. It's to prepare us for challenge. Maybe we could say our fear response is a little like a spring. I have a little frog on a spring that I stole from my kids. When my kids graduate and move out, there will be no more sermon props because I don't know where I'll find them. And our fear response, when something happens that we are afraid of, when we're afraid of something, we tense up inside so that we can move to action when we need to. That's what fear is. It's to prepare us for a challenge. It's to prepare us to move. It's to prepare us to engage or to get out. It's a good thing. When you're driving down the road and someone slams on their brakes in front of you unexpectedly, you tense up rather quickly so that you can respond. You can swerve, you can hit your brakes, whatever it is. You can engage the situation with your body to uncoil that spring and move into action. The problem, though, is that we live in a world that is not super physical most of the time, and most of the stresses that we carry, there is not an appropriate physical response to day in and day out. The times that I have carried anxiety in my body, it's not because there is a predator hunting me down. It's because of the long list of emails that I need to dive into, combined with the hard conversation that I had yesterday and the hard conversation that I need to have tomorrow and a couple of days that are too full, and not enough rest, and not sleeping well, and those things combine, and I have this fear response in my body that tenses up, and there is no appropriate physical way to release it, so it gets like solidified in there, and I carry it, and I just sit with it. If I could try to define anxiety, I know there's lots of different ways to say it. If fear is being afraid of something, anxiety is being afraid of a nothing. It's not that if I was trapped in an elevator, that would be an appropriate time to be afraid and to try to pry the doors open or climb out the roof or something. But when I get into an elevator and everything's fine, but my anxiety shoots up, I'm not afraid of a thing. I'm afraid of an idea. I'm afraid of a nothing. And my body is responding with fear, but there's no way to let it loose. And often we carry this in a low-grade way, or sometimes it pops up above the surface. And one of the things that we can do with the body God has given us is give it space to move so that our anxiety has somewhere to go. It hasn't happened lately, but I've had days where I get this like fluttery feeling, not the good fluttery feeling on the inside, like the bad one, like I can't focus, like I've had too much caffeine, but I haven't, and I hate it, and it feels like my skin like wants to jump off of me, and I don't know what to do with that. And I've learned, and I'm grateful I have the flexibility for this sometimes, I can go home, hop on my exercise bike, and ride my bike for 30 minutes to try to burn it out of my system, so that I can get back to my day. Movement, exercise, engaging the world with our body is a part of uncoiling the anxiety that gets built up in us. It's not a silver bullet. There's not a silver bullet, by the way. Medicine can be an important thing that people use to deal with anxiety. If that's what you need, then that's a gift from God. That's okay. But I think we want to look at what are the things that we can do with the body God has given us. It's also what we put into it. When I live my life off of donuts, and let me tell you something, guys, I love donuts. Deep fried cake for breakfast. What else do you want, right? The food for the stomach and the stomach for food. And there are so many donuts around the church. It's like people just, they can't just drive to church. They have to swing by Jackson Donuts or Donut Palace or Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme because we're missing enough, we don't have enough donut places. And they just wander in and they're like, donuts, you know. And you're, you know, it's donuts and Jesus. They just, and I come out of my office, you know, and I'm like, I smelled you pulling into the parking lot. And especially the long twisty ones with cinnamon and sugar on them. Not that I have a particular favorite in mind. But when I fill my body with carbohydrate, sugar, and caffeine, that spring tenses up so much easier than when I hydrate well, when I eat good things that God has given the earth, like vegetables and fruit, and when I exercise, my body does not respond to fear the same way. We have to learn how to take care of our good body. Someone in our church that has been on a journey with her body, that I wanted to let her share her story with you. Her name's Jill Crucial. Let's see what she has to say.
So my story really centers around whether or not I believed that God gave us a good body. So I have struggled with weight my entire life, even from infancy. Even from the very beginning. And I learned very early on that that wasn't my strength. And not only that, it wasn't, it was coupled with feelings of shame and inadequacy and weakness. And it really attacked my identity because it wasn't like, I can't do those things. It is, I am not enough. But shame and humiliation and that blessed presidential fitness test in school, my earliest memory of like reaching into that diet culture was I saw an ad in the back of a magazine for some sort of grapefruit pill that was supposed to make you lose weight. And I cut the ad out and I put my money in an envelope and it was all change because I was a kid. I didn't get paper money for allowance. I got coins. So that was how young I was when I knew that my body wasn't living up to what the standard was. So I went on this journey of vacillating back and forth between neglect and obsession. And so neglect told me that I wasn't enough and there was nothing I could do about it. And obsession says it was all up to me and I had to work really hard and do the things and not be lazy. And but I got really exhausted because that didn't work. I would go into different products of, you know, I had all the DVD sets. Well, I had all the VHS sets, then I had all the DVD sets, and then I had all the streaming sets, and then I had all the products that were, you know, on the late time TV shows, and it felt like I was waiting for that one special revelation. That's what I've been needing. That's what I've been missing. And if you notice, God's not been in that conversation. It was me. I wasn't enough. And then I went to trying really hard and I wasn't enough. And I got within 9 pounds of the thing that I wanted. And I didn't know who I was because I didn't have an identity. The change happened at the height of, you know, where I was really close to getting what I thought I wanted. And I again felt God say, if you never got skinny, like you're wanting, would I be enough for you? Right? And so in that moment, I knew that what I was doing was not going to get me to where I needed to be. And so I started looking for something else. I wanted a place that incorporated fitness and God. And then I found Revelation Wellness, and it wasn't presented in the fact of we have the answer. Big fitness industry doesn't want you to know this answer. We have it. It wasn't a special revelation like that. It said, this is the word of God. And when you make yourself available and move your body to occupy that fight or flight that makes you not want to be still, not want to work out, not want to address the things you need to address, we're going to move so that part of the body gets occupied so you can let the Word of God in and penetrate. The revelation about your wellness comes from Him. So I enjoyed Revelation Wellness for their fitness mindset because it let God in, but also I felt like God was saying, yeah, that's what I want you to do. And I was like, I'm sorry, what now? You know, fitness is my weakness. He goes, absolutely. You can't do this without me at all. So here we are. Your body does matter. Your body matters. If it didn't, we wouldn't be given it. We are a reflection of the image of God. We encounter our world with all of our senses, and that's how we function. That's how we are able to do the work that God wants us to do. Our body is necessary. So when we neglect our body, we automatically present a barrier to what God wants us to do because it keeps us still. For those that are obsessing about it or maybe not including God in it, the journey isn't complete at all. We really then have the margin to think outside of us. It's all about, what am I going to eat today? What am I going to work out today? What's my PR today? Am I faster than I was yesterday? Am I stronger than I was yesterday? But when we're preoccupied with that, then we miss the purpose of why we have the body in the first place. It's temporary. It's not going to last. And so if we spend all of our time internalizing and not building up our spirit and our mind and our soul and our relationships that are outside of us that are more lasting, then sometimes we miss the point, I think.
Isn't that great? She's a fitness instructor now. Which is pretty fun. It was some things that she talked about that I really like. One is that it can become an idol. Anything good can become an idol where we obsess over it and we get our identity from it. That's not good. That's not from God. But we do have work to do with the good gift that God has given us in our body to show up. And I like the phrase that I've heard lately, to put ourselves in the path of oncoming grace. Our job is to put ourselves in the path of oncoming grace. And we do that by showing up for ourselves so that God can give us a gift and that we can be on mission and that we can build up the temple that God has given us. And most of us have to start in little ways. Now, my wife wakes up at 4:30 in the morning to go flip tires in the parking lot over at Be Chosen Academy and do kickboxing. That is not going to be my next move. You know, as cool as that is, I'm trying to find time to wake up earlier, to beat my excuses, and to spend 15 minutes a few times a week doing a YouTube video in my basement. Now, by the way, the YouTube videos that I pick, I've noticed that what I do, I pick the low impact ones, and I'll notice in my video feed the next day are literally nursing home workouts. So that's where I am. But listen, our challenge is not, do we need more stuff? There's stuff on YouTube that's free. Fitness equipment is cheap. Planet Fitness is what, like $8 a month? I mean, you know, like those are not our barriers. How many of us have fitness trackers and step counters? You know, I've had mine for years. It hasn't made that big of a difference. Our challenges are what we choose to do with our time, right? And one of the things that I've found, like Jill talked about, when we move our body, we can get that thing in us that's wound up to relax so that we can be open to something else. Some of my best times with the Lord have been when I'm out on a walk or a very, very sad looking run. But I have worship music in my ears, or I have scripture on, or a podcast that's talking about Jesus, and that is a place that I can meditate on God's word. I have permission to share this, but over the last year and a half, my wife has struggled with anxiety at times in ways that she never has before. This is before she started working out regularly again. And it was important for her to be able to get up in some rather dark moments and walk around the house and say to herself over and over again, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. And that helped that spring uncoil and open herself up to truth. Instead of being occupied with fear that is focused on a nothing, on a non-event, and focus on the truth of God. So I want to give us a couple of very practical places to start. It's just a couple of things that I know about that happen to be local, happen to be associated with our church, happen to be free. One is Run for God. Tom Muir leads that, and they meet several times a week. And it's like entry-level stuff. If you need to take a screenshot of that email address or write it down, you can email him and get in on that. If that's maybe a place for you. The second one, Jill, from the video, she's going to start leading some fitness classes here at the church towards the end of the month, I think on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can email her and find out about those. If that's a place for you to start, if you need people, sometimes we need people in our lives. Here's where I want to end. Your body is a gift. And Jesus' body was a gift. So much so that when we serve communion, I don't want to overstate this, but we hold up bread and we say, this is the body of Christ broken for you. And we're invited into a life like that where our body is given to the world. And if we're going to do that, maybe I need to be engaged in taking care of it so that I can be on mission the way God wants me to. I just want to close with this scripture. And this is in Ephesians chapter 2, and it's written about everything that God has done for us and has made us in Christ. But I want you to hear this through the lens of your body. For we are God's masterpiece. It may not feel like it sometimes, but this is the truth. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has good things he has planned for you and me to do. And we get to offer the masterpiece of our body to the world. In his name. So let's pray. Lord, some of us are naturally doing so well at this. And some of us struggle. And some of us, whether it's medical or motivational, whether we're approaching the end of our lives or we're towards the beginning, help us to find ways to honor the gift that you've given us, the temple where you dwell, and the body that you have sent out on mission in the world. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.